This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, please get your King James Bibles, gather around, and please turn to the great book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1, where we left off last time, minor prophets. It's spelled Z-E-C-H if you're looking for it. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1. Now, Zechariah is a prophecy of these very end times. He gives Zechariah a series of visions to show us what's going on right now. And it also tells us, of course, of the second coming of Jesus and of the building of the temple, but the temple not made by hand. The many-membered body of Christ, you are the temple of the living God. Now, in the last vision that we studied last week in chapter 5, it was the seventh vision, and he gave us a vision of these very end times of a woman climbing into a harvest basket. You harvest crops in a basket. The only thing about it wasn't harvest time. It wasn't time for harvest. We do know that when Jesus comes, he's going to harvest the wheat, you understand? But this was out of season and untimely harvest. But the woman climbed in anyway, and her name is Mystery Babylon. She was the world deceived who believe a lie and do not know the chronological order of events of Jesus' second coming. And then the basket began to try to fly up in the air under the power of a dirty bird, a stork. And God said, "This is wickedness. The wickedness is the wicked one. This is of the devil, and the stork is doing this dirty trick." And they tried to fly up by the help of two of his lieutenants, two fallen angels, but they couldn't get to heaven, and they couldn't get back down. And they sat there on their base of their lie. Their base was a lie, and a lie has no foundation, in a place called Shinar, confusion, deception, Babylon, there with Satan. Now, chapter 6 continues this same vision. So remember that, because it's a continuation of the seventh vision. This is for you.
Chapter 6, verse 1. "And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came forth chariots out from between two mountains."
Now, these are not the same chariots. Remember, with horses, it's a symbol of power. These are not the same horses or chariots as in chapter 1. Those first chariots were scouts, angelic beings that God sent from heaven, from the spiritual realm, into our physical realm to see if we, the elect, are in our right place to bring about the end. And he even called us carpenters, because carpenters build God's house. We hammer the word home and we nail it in. And he even called us firebrands, because we're anointed with God. Well, what are these? These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. Now, they are power and they are spirits, as we're going to see. And we're going to study what they are. Now, let's talk about the mountain for a minute.
"And the mountains were mountains of brass."
Okay, mountain means nation, very strong. This whole conflict here at the end is a battle between our God and Satan, between God's children, his elect, the carpenters, and between the devil's children, the Kenites, who are the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. a battle between Islam and a battle between Christianity, a battle between good and evil, a battle between the truth and the lie. So you see this battle so that everybody will get into that basket and be harvested out before its time is on. The battle is on.
Two in the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses. Three, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses.
Now these are symbolic horses power. The red means war. The war is on. Now in Revelation he puts the white horse first because people are going to climb into the basket to fly with the Antichrist, who's going to pretend to be Jesus. In Revelation chapter 6, he has a symbol of that white horse. There's a rider on that white horse. He's coming to conquer and to conquer, to say he's God of the whole earth. He's coming as Messiah, the Christ, the Antichrist, instead of Christ, not against, but pretending to be. And he has a bow around his head. Well, that looks like Jesus, because in Revelation chapter 4, Jesus has a rainbow around his head likened to an emerald. But in the Greek, in Revelation 6, that bow is toxin, poison, cheap fabric imitation. He's imitating Christ. Now, if you worship the Antichrist, who comes in the sky first before Jesus, at the sixth trump, Antichrist comes, seventh trump, Jesus comes, that first rider on the white horse, if you follow him, you will go to black. Black symbolizes death. Jesus said in Hebrews 2:14, I came to this world to defeat death, whose name is the devil. And of course, anyone worshiping the devil has eternal death. You would not worship the devil if there were not a famine in the land. Black also symbolized famine. Amos 8:11, a famine of the word of God, of every word of God. But what about the speckled and dappled there, bay? They're also called gray in the manuscripts, pale or green. This means untimely figs, out of harvest. This is the lie that you are going to be out of here and get in that basket, untimely figs, and be harvested pale green. It's not time to pick the fruit yet, not time for harvest, but you're going to be harvested out of season. Remember Jesus said, pray that your flight be not in winter, because harvest time's in summer. If you harvested in winter, you've gotten to that basket. And so that's what these means. Now all four of these are spirits. They are mentioned in Revelation. They're called their seven seals or signs in Revelation. And four of these are symbolized by these four horses. They are lying signs, and they have already been released on the earth, and half of the body of Christ has already bought that lie hook, line, and sinker. Now we're going to prove that they are lying spirits.
For then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Five, and the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth.
All right, now they are lying spirits, and it says four, it's just a symbol of the four corners of the earth, all directions. Now, what's going on? What's standing before the Lord? Remember the book of Job? The sons of God and Satan came to stand before the Lord. Remember that? Okay. Now, right now, Satan's body is in heaven. Of course, there's evil spirits here. These four horses are his evil lying spirits. They are lying to you. But he's standing there, and the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you day and night. Squawk, 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 squawk. So these four lying spirits are under the auspices of Satan, and they have already been released. Remember there were seven seals? They've been released. They've been already released. They're already there. You're already told that you're not going to be here when Antichrist comes. You're going to go to the rider on the first white horse. That's the Antichrist, you see, and that leads you to death. and you'll be deceived, harvested out of season, the pale green, dappled and gray horse. And that's the war, to deceive you so that you will not be God's child, but will be the devil's child and walk into the lake of fire. Do you understand?
Yes. Six, the black horses which are therein go forth into the north country.
All right. Now remember that Jesus says the devil's name is death, and we all know that that's his name. Okay, so think about Mr. Death, we'll call him that. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, Isaiah 14, Lucifer, who is the Antichrist, who is Satan, who is the serpent, who is the dragon, who is the first rider on the white horse, said, I will be God, and I will make my throne in the sides of the north. God's temple, God's throne is in the side of the north. So, a part of this end time scenario is that first one coming in the sky, Revelation 12, will be the Antichrist calling himself Christ, and he will sit in Jerusalem calling himself God. Do you understand? Standing where he ought not. Thessalonians tells us that. So that's Mr. Death. He's going to call himself God and sit on the throne as God.
And the white go forth after them.
All right. All who are deceived and believe that that first rider on the white horse, the first one coming calling himself Christ, will go after him. Revelation 13 says the whole world will worship the beast. That second beast is the Antichrist. Remember, he's not coming to cut your heads off. He's pretending to be the Savior. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. The Bible also says half of the body of Christ will worship him because the people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea tells us that. Five are wise, five are foolish, half and half. Five have no oil in their lamp. Oil gives light, light is the truth, and the truth is the word.
The grizzled go forth toward the south country.
Now the grizzle means those pale green. It's not harvest time. When Satan comes in the sky, Revelation 12, he's bringing his stars with him. That's the fallen angels, Joel. We taught them really deeply in Joel, the stages of the four locust army. The fallen angels are coming with Satan in the sky, and the way it looks like they might come just a little bit before. They're very charismatic, and they are going to go to and fro, as you're about to hear, trying to convince everybody that their daddy is God. They're going to go into the Christian church. It'll be what seems like a great revival in the Christian church. Isn't everybody asking for one? Because they'll think it's Jesus. He will be preaching the gospel of death, but he'll be pretending it's the gospel of life. And so they go to and fro. Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about them going to and fro. Remember, they are gray, out of harvest. They're trying to harvest you. They're trying to get you into that basket before it's really harvest time.
And the bee went forth.
The bee is the same thing as the grizzled and dappled, and also in the manuscripts, pale or green. Remember, it means out of harvest. It's not harvest time yet. They're trying to trick you.
To go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence. Walk to and fro through the earth.
Now, so this is what they did. We learned in Joel that they're going to be in the Christian church with a revival. They're charismatic. They know the scriptures, and they know how to twist three little words. They're going to try to come into an assembly like this where the elect are. We're not going to be deceived. But we also learned that they go up on the walls and on the rooftop. Well, how do they do that? Your television and cable wires, your computer wires, and they give their lie, the image of the beast, that their daddy is God on the television, on computer screen. So see, right into your living room, right into your smartphone.
So they walked to and fro through the earth.
That will happen. It's about to happen.
Eight, then cried he unto me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go forth to the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country.
Now, God isn't saying that I'm very happy that this deception is here. He's not saying I'm happy that the devil pretending to be the Savior is calling himself God and standing in Jerusalem. That there's this fake revival going on in his church. It just means God says, I'm very happy that what I wrote in my book is happening orderly. See, God is very orderly. He wrote all of this in his book, his love letter, the Bible. And it comes exactly as he wrote it. It's coming to pass. So he says everything's okay in order. Just like those scouts in chapter 1 looked and saw you elect and said, okay, everybody's in their place.
9, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 10, take of them of the captivity.
Now, he's going to use a natural example. Remember, a part of the title, or the theme of Zechariah is to build the temple, but ultimately it's the temple of the living God, the church, you people, the many-membered body of Christ, because see, we're not built yet, we're lopsided. And he's going to use an example of the rebuilding of the temple there in Jerusalem after the house of Judah had come out of 70 years captivity in Babylon. They were there, and God had told Zerubbabel, who was born in Babylon but was a Hebrew, to rebuild the temple. Now he's going to use this natural rebuilding to show you how God is going to build the temple. Now I want you to understand something. He's going to give you some names. In Bible times, when a person was named, it described what was going on with him. For instance, in the book of Daniel, there's a man there. If you check it out in the Hebrew, it means horse face. He had a horse face, okay? So these names are very important, and so that will help you understand. But right now, in the natural, these people, he says, okay, those of you who've been in captivity, take Heldai, those who were worldly, those who had been captured by the ways of the world. In other words, some went into Babylon and forgot their roots. This would mean a praise of God, goodness of God. Those who were had been rescued by the goodness of God. Praise of God. They were praising him that they were out of captivity.
To come from Babylon and come battle the same day. And go into the house of Josiah.
Now, Josiah the priest, okay, take them all out. Take these particular men. You remember their names, okay? Those who've been captured by the world. Those who are saved by the goodness of God. Those are praising the God they got delivered. Now, we're going to go into the house of Josiah. This is very important. His name means whom God heals. Whom God heals. Now, he is the son of
Zephaniah.
Zephaniah means the hidden ones, the elect, the carpenters. Now, as I told you, these names are just simply to describe the situation. Here's how it reads in the manuscripts. Take those who've just come out of captivity and who have allowed themselves to be captured by the ways of the world. Take the goodness of God. Take the praise of God. And the same day, go into the house of the one who always heals his hidden ones. Hallelujah. Amen. Who always heals his hidden ones. Now in our story, Josiah is sick, but you know the greatest sickness? Sin sickness. The world is Josiah.
11, then take silver and gold.
Now, silver and gold. Timothy tells us, Paul tells us, that God's children are vessels of wood, hay, stubble, brass, gold, or silver. You will notice that only gold and silver are here. The gold and silver are God's elect who have been refined by the refiner's fire. The fire didn't burn us and the water didn't drown us, and having done all, we are staying. All the green is off of us. Now, so take the elect of God, because he moves on now that when Jesus comes, remember prophecy of Jesus coming, that Jesus is coming, and only the overcomers, Romans 11, 7,000 elect who would not bow the knee to Satan, to Baal, only the elect, we learned in Ezekiel and Revelation, will be able to come to Jesus. So what are the golden silver vessels going to do?
Crowns.
Make crowns. Now, it's just one body. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said that they may be one. Jesus is ahead. We're one body. Now the elect are coming together and our hearts are being aligned as one. So what happens? There's a crown for those who look for his appearing. But if you go to the first rider on the white horse, the Antichrist, to jump into his flying basket, you haven't looked for his appearance, you see. So the elect wait on him, and we get a crown for looking for his appearance. But we take our crowns, and they become a composite of one crown. What are we going to do with our crown?
Upon the head of Joshua.
Put them on the head of Joshua. Hebrew, Yeshua, Jesus. Crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
The son of Josedek, the high priest.
The son of Josedek, the high priest. Josedek's name in the Hebrew, God is righteous. Put them on the son of God, his head. And Lord Jesus, we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch.
Now, there are many meanings of the word man in the Bible. This man is supernatural as compared to mortal. In the Hebrew, it's ish. And of course, the branch means sprout, a sprout of the stem of David. It's Jesus. Remember, David, Jesus came through David's genealogy. Branch, sprout, the sprout of the seed, the stem of David. And in the Old Testament, Jesus was called the branch because we were not yet his church. Now, he's the vine and you are the branch. See, his kingdom expands.
And he shall grow up out of his place.
Out of his place, out of the stem, out of the sprout of the stem of Jesse, David, through that lineage, the king tribe, the lion of the tribe of Judah.
He shall build the temple of the Lord.
And he, the branch, shall build the temple. Remember when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ means the anointed one, Messiah. And Jesus said, on this rock will I build my church. Now, Peter's name was Petra, means rock, but he didn't mean Peter. It meant on the truth, the rock truth, mictum, engraved in stone truth that came through Peter's mouth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, you know that Jesus said something else. He said, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it.
13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord.
That's why I said it twice. It's going to be hard. I can tell you, carpenters elect, every demon in hell comes to stop the work that you are doing. Every time you get that truth out and hammer it home and nail it in, you're building another room for another child of God in the temple of the living God. And they come from the north and the south and the east and west, and Satan sends them. These four horses, lying spirits and demonic forces. But not the gates of hell shall prevail against you. God in one is the majority. Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Accept that power, let that anointing flow. You put up your hand and say, stop, devil. Jesus is Lord.
Amen. And he shall bear the glory.
To Jesus be the glory.
And shall sit and rule upon the throne.
Jesus, even now, is sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. He's about to say his priest.
And he shall be a priest upon his throne.
Romans 8 says he's sitting there now making intercession for you. See, when a person realizes they've sinned and confesses their sins and believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead, those sins are like filthy garments. And we learned in the earlier chapter, Jesus puts on the filthy garments and he's sitting beside the Father. And the Father looks at Jesus all dressed in our dirty rags. And he says to him, son, you're an acceptable sacrifice. You're the Passover lamb. And so let me take your filthy garments and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. So he intercedes for us. But Jesus is not only an intercessor for your prayer, paid our sin debt. He's an advocate between you and all the gates of hell. There's not one demon from hell has more power than Jesus. So you call on his name. He will encompass you about as with a shield, shamar you about, put a wall of fire about you, and not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
And the counsel of peace shall be between them both.
Father and Son, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one, the Prince of Peace. When hearts are knit together, how about us all in here? We're so aligned. Don't we all have that peace? Yes.
14, and the crown shall be to Helen.
Okay, now the crown here means strength. Now, that first building was in 410 to 403 B.C., and that first thing about Helen and all of that was in now, because the church is being built. So it's in the second earth age, this one time in the flesh. Now he's about to let us see the temple in the eternal heaven on earth. So he says, okay, let's give strength to Heldah. In other words, Heldah, you who are worldly, come out of the world. You carnal Christians, come and be sanctified, and you may come into the temple.
And to Tobiah.
Okay, Tobiah, that would be the goodness of God. For the goodness of God, you may come in.
And to Jedaiah.
Come in and praise the Lord, whosoever will may come.
And to Hen, the son of Zephaniah.
Oh my goodness, Zephaniah, their very elect. Hen, did you notice he changed his name? That was Josiah, wasn't it? But Josiah was sick. Hen's name means grace, G-R-A-C-E. We are saved by grace. Save means a lot of things. It means help, H-E-L-P. It means heal, H-E-A-L. It means aid, A-I-D. It means protection. It means supply. It means anything you need from God Almighty. You are saved by grace. It means rest. In other words, in the heaven on earth, we rest from all those fiery darts of the enemy. When we are hedged about, when our name is changed from Josiah, a sin-sick world, and the sin is gone because of Yeshua, Joshua, then we rest from all the battles, the demonic forces that come upon you. It also means rest. You rest from those battles, and now your name is Hen. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
For a memorial in the temple of the Lord.
Forever and ever.
15, and they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord.
Now Zechariah is writing this in 410 to 403 B.C. It's a far time from the 21st century where you and I live. We were with God. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, when you die, ere the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. But we're not in our physical body. And now here, on through the corridors of time, you elect, you and I, are building the house. For every time we get the truth of God and hammer it in and nail it in and another one comes in, we're building the many-membered body of Christ, ecclesia, set-aside ones. You are in the Bible. That's you. If you're building the house.
And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you would diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.
This will come to pass that whosoever will. Zephaniah, there's a place for the very elect. We learned in Ezekiel, right around Jesus, an allotment. And there's a plot for everyone, whosoever will may come. For all of these who've been worldly, who've been saved by the grace of God, there's a place if you would diligently. Diligently in the Hebrew means if you will carefully study his word. Well, we have carefully studied his word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll begin right there next time. But right now, it's time for a mystery moment, questions and answers to uncover some of the great mysteries of God. And Joel 2 told us to blow the trumpet in Zion, so we always obey the word. Dear Sherry Trumpet, I know the name America is not in the Bible, but I do understand that we are the larger bulk of the lost 10 tribes that were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, went to Canada, and these United States of America. So is America described anywhere in the Bible? Absolutely. One of the best places is Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with about verse 7. Now remember that God had prepared the land of Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. But God also knew that all 12 tribes were going to be captured. And we just heard of the captivity of the two of the tribes, house of Judah and Babylon. And of course the 10 tribes were captured. So God prepared another land for the 10 tribes. It says, "The Lord thy God will give thee a good land, a land of brooks and waters, of fountains springing from the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat, of barley, a land of vines, of fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of oil, a land of honey, a land of olive, a land where bread is without scarcity, a land where there is no lack, a land whose stones are of iron and whose hills are of brass." As they say, there's gold in them there hills. Hallelujah. That's America. Hallelujah. God bless America. Woo. America. Now also Isaiah 18, he says a land divided by rivers, you know, waters, Colorado, Mississippi, Arkansas, all of that. And he says a land where the men are tall and peeled, P-E-E-L-E-D, clean shaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless America. Now, I want you to come and live with me in that temple not made with hand in the future. If you're not saved, I would like to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Come to eternal life. Come to the truth. Come to Jesus. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, come and live forever. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe in my heart.
I confess with my mouth.
That God has raised Jesus from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. Lead me by your Holy Spirit. Perfect that which concerneth me. And use me to enlarge your territory. I belong to you. I am a Christian.
I love you.
And I thank you.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a moment, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to leave a message on my voicemail and tell me you were saved. Say your name very clearly, and I'll put you on my daily prayer list. Now we're going to pray for those who are healed. Maybe you're Josiah in the flesh. God still heals. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing destroys the yoke. From the north, the south, and the east and west, wherever there is pain, pain stop. Jesus bore our pains. Let hepatitis C be healed and gone in the name and the power of Jesus. Fibromyalgia be gone. Deaf ears hear. Blind eyes see. Livers, cancers, colon, kidneys, bladders be healed. Crippled legs walk. Blood be purified. Diabetes be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Brains function. Skin be healed. Backs be healed. Vertebrae. Pelvis. Prostate cancer be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. Let your strength and your youth be renewed as the eagle. Pick up your bed and walk. Arise, arise, and be healed. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings all over this area. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your hand and praise him and receive your healing. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. He sent his word and healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. Now, when you call me, you might like to call and tell me you were healed, and I love you. You're invited to come to my school on Sundays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We are warriors over here. We are working for the Lord, and we appreciate the privilege. We love our job, as God says. We love praying and working for the Lord. Now remember this, everything you get is not yours to keep. If you keep it, you're just going to be selfish, and you're going to implode, and you're not going to be a light. You're supposed to shine. You know, you're not supposed to just be a light. You're supposed to be salty. In other words, you're supposed to stir things up and make it savory and make it exciting. I mean, no wimps, no boredom in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So go and tell this truth. Go and tell. Find one person, ask God to show you, and tell. And invite people to Trumpet of Truth on the radio and here on Sundays and here on Wednesdays. Now, we want to have a day of repentance in America. We're praying for that. So if your spirit is quickened on that, call me and let's get that going. We want to have this thing all over America, and I need media help to come in here and get it out. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. God bless and keep you. And I love you with all my heart. And if God is willing, I will see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
closing in on the inside, but I'm not showing it. When all I am is crying out, I hold it in and fake a smile. Still I'm broken, I'm broken. Well, only one could understand, and only one could hold the hand of the broken, of the broken.
Praise Him, praise Him, let all the people praise Him, praise Him.
pictures of our God and King. All living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing. Praise Him, praise Him. Let all the people praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Let all creation sing. Yeah, praise Him, praise Him. Let all the people praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Let all creation sing. Worthy to receive the glory.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument. God, we live. could I stand here and watch the sunrise, follow the mountains where they touch the sky, ponder the vastness in the depths of the sea, and think for a moment the point of it all was to make much of me. 'Cause I'm just a whisper and you are the thunder, and I wanna make much of you, Jesus. I wanna make much of your love. I wanna live today to give you the praise that you alone are so worthy of. I wanna make much of your mercy. I wanna make much of your cross. I give you my life. Take it and let it be used to make much of you. And how can I kneel here and think of the cross, the thorns and the whip and the nails and the spear, infinite cost to purchase my pardon and bear all my shame, and think I have anything worth boasting in except for your name. Yeah.
the scene to be the ones that bring.